He's drawing us into a place of going beyond, can I see? Beyond, can I demonstrate? Just a place of supernatural peace and rest and comfort that will usher in the seeing, will usher in the demonstrating. He's just caressing our hearts right now. I just feel that and sense that in the spirit. That's what he's doing right now. It's just a place of a caressing, just caressing and holding and calling us ever so closely and tenderly to his heart. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. It's a day of testimony. It's a day of praise. It's a day of thanksgiving. It's a day, Lord, where our eyes are seeing you in a new way because our hearts are held in yours so closely. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when the Lord draws us into a place of just holding fast to his heart, saying, just trust me, just love me, just follow me, and we're in that place with him, he has reasons that he's wanting us to grab onto that are going to change everything in our lives for increase, for better, for more. With persecution, with difficulties, with challenges, this is our God. He's so amazing. He's family. He's our family. And he gives us this amazing spiritual opportunity to pull into him and see him as a father, as a son, as a brother, as a friend. He gives us that, and he's created us to be that way. He's created us to be family with him. He's created us, and that sense of family that he releases inside is how we are to view all things without compromising him first as our family. He gives us an amazing spiritual family. It's not just an ethereal, oh, I'm part of the family of God, but he gives us relationships. He gives us opportunities to build, to shape, and to be able to go forward and carry each other's burdens and pains as we learn how to give them to our burden bearer, right? And that's what he wants to do. I got this amazing card from someone very special this week that brought me to tears. And it was just so special. It came out of the blue. And it came right at a good time. And I got this card and I just looked at it and tears came down. Because there was such heartfelt love that was given in this card that someone went the extra mile and did that for me. Not because of what they could get, not because of how great a prayer I could offer, not because, hey, she's the one who does healing. You know, not that's not true, but it's because of me, just me. And it was a love note, an appreciation. And I thought, God, why is that such a blessing for me? Since I created you to receive that kind of love, that kind of affection, that kind of attention. And it really touched me deeply, and I kept moving it throughout the week, different places. And I don't have a card as an idol, but it was just, it was a picture of the heart of the Father. He was just kissing me with the kisses of his mouth, because his love is better than wine. But it just came unexpectedly, and it was beautiful, and it was unexpected. And I think that's how our Father looks at us. And that's what he wants to do for each one of us, for us to be able to see him in all things and not take for granted any of our closeness or relationships in any way. And it's very easy to do that, especially in this Western culture. And so I just encourage us to think of these things. Think on this. Some people gather in communally with their families, with their culture, but they don't know the love of the Father. They don't know Jesus. So they're missing the source of all of this love and affection. and get wrapped up in that or other things. And while family is very good and helpful and gracious, and yes, and I'm all about it, and I wish I had more, to be honest with you. I'm looking for that. It's a desire of my heart, because that will increase. That's my prayer. But I'm saying that God is saying, look for me in these types of things, and don't stop seeing the blessings that I've given you just right in your face, so close that you can't see unless you see him first. And if we see him first, we will see the obvious, because we have to discover his love. We have to discover him. So this is a day of continued discovery. We're going to report great things that God has done. We're going to share burdens, and we're going to certainly continue to call on the power and the nature of God to come and move mountains for us. As we speak to those mountains, we're going to do all those things because that's who he is. And he says, I want you to discover my ways. Jamie, I didn't know if you had Psalms in the Passion. Where are you, Jamie? Oh, right in front of you. Did you have Psalms, or just bring this one? Can you, your phone? Can you look up Psalm 67:1? This is just coming to mind. This is in the Passion Translation, and we're going to be looking at some of those words today. As we are thinking about Memorial Day weekend, for all those who have served and given their lives and defended our nation. Is there anybody in here? Because I know there are people in here, but I don't know all who's here today because I don't have my long glasses on. But is there anybody who has served in the United States forces in any way, or you're currently serving? We just want to give you honor and praise. Can you just be on your feet? And we just want to give the Lord honor and praise for you and your service. And I know, thank you very much, Spencer. So Joe, thank you, Joe. Stay up, stay up, stay up. Look at these guys. These are part of our heroes. This is why we can meet together, and there are millions of others as well. And I know Ashley Mitchell is, I don't know if she's here. And we just thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for continuing to give. And you know, when you go on Facebook, Facebook has all answers, right? So, and we, of course. Yeah, and I was just going through all some of the pictures and the videos going, yes, yes, oh my gosh, that's good. So many sacrifices, so many people laying their hearts down and lives down because they believed in what they were doing. We're trusting. I believe that. I hope that. Trust that. And we're here today because those have paid a big price who have gone before us. And God wants us to remember and go beyond saying, can you believe we've gone over to Africa and look what God has done? That's great. And we need to say yes and amen. But then we need to build on that. We need to thank God and then build. So today is the day of thanking the Lord and also building. And Jamie, did you want to read that, if you could?
Psalm 67:1. God, keep us near your grace fountain and bless us. And when you look down on us, may your face beam with joy. Send us out all over the world so that everyone, everywhere, will discover your ways and know who you are and see your power to save.
Isn't that beautiful? Discovering your ways, know who you are, and see your power to save. And save is goes beyond giving someone a verse and then they say yes, although miracles happen there, right? But God wants us to demonstrate him, to show him to other people. Nothing this house hasn't heard of before. But I just believe that today God wants us to take a fresh look with fresh manna at how much he loves us, which is going to spark us into taking the next step, whatever that would be, with him to know his ways. Oh, we match. Look at this. Never thought though that way. Yeah, we do. Kim and I are matching. It's kind of fun. But I really believe that God is saying that, and he's going to break down the mindsets that keep us from receiving the very best. He's given us so many wonderful things in this time, and I know that he wants us to contend for his ways, the knowledge of his ways. Okay? I have to tell you something. This is really exciting before we release kiddos and all this. But I got a call last night from Inez, And those of you who were able to be here on Tuesday heard this, but our money's finally, after many problems, trying to get things moving, crazy stuff that went on. I mean, just crazy. Did you ever look at somebody and go, what is going on? This is crazy. So, you know, the roadblocks and hurdles and all that. It's like, why does that seem like it's a challenge? And the Lord says, just keep your eyes on me and I'll show you what to do. But anyway, our land, our building in the favela, in the community, City of God, was purchased this week, finally, with a signed contract. Yes. And so it's very exciting. So yesterday, in City of God in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, Inez and Sergio, Pastor Sergio, who works also with her from Casa de Jesus, they got the keys, and they went in, and they dedicated the whole place to the Lord. All the kids were in there, and they were worshiping, and they were thanking God. I mean, come on. So it's great, great difficulty getting it through. You don't need to hear all of the difficulties, but the result is, yes, God. And thank you guys for paying and praying for that. So we're very excited about what's going to happen. And I said, did you get any pictures? Oh, my gosh, no. So she's going to do it on Monday or Tuesday when they go again, and we'll see some pictures, and they'll pray again, I guess. I don't know. But they'll give us something that we can also cheer about. And it's really interesting because when I got the information, when I got the phone call, there were things that were shaking in the spirit in my world. And it was just like, God, this is so extreme. There's so many things happening that are hard, challenging. And then you get this. And it's just this, the Lord saying, and I said, remember, I said, and you shall have what I said. And I'm going to build your faith and build your confidence and build you up in your most holy faith. And you're going to run this race with great endurance. And from the word of God, being able to go forth and change situations and bring situations into a place of kingdom reality, hold fast and don't give up in any way. And so I wanted to read one scripture to you. This is in Romans 15, verse 4. It's a really good verse. They're all good, but it's a really good verse. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And I just say that again. Can you look at that? Can you think about that? Okay, Romans 15, 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And it says different things, different ways in different versions, but basically the same, that the Lord is using his word to build us up, to encourage us. We are to encourage ourselves in our most holy faith. Encourage ourselves. And stay so connected, so hot, so on fire, that the very obvious thing in front of our face, we will see it. How many times have we looked in a closet and looked for something and it's not there? This is one of what I have on today is one of those things. It was in a closet that's about 2-3 feet wide, we thought, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. I've had this for a couple years. I don't get it. Where is that? I don't know where it is. So I just said casual, Lord, would you just bring that to me? I know I didn't throw it out, and I don't have that many clothes. I don't get this. I don't understand. Came back from India. Pastor Bill went into the little closet that has coats and things. It's very small, actually, and it was right there hanging in the front. I don't understand that. I just give God glory. I wasn't there. He wasn't there. We asked a lady who was in our house, Christy did, and if there's anybody else who was in there and found it and put it there, let me know. It's really crazy. And then one time when we were in Rajahmundry, India, Carly was carrying my bag because, you know, I had this problem with my leg, and Lawrence and Carly and Troy were carrying things for me, and I was leaning on them. It was really nice, helpful, and Pastor Bill, of course. And so Carly was carrying my gray bag, and she was carrying up into this little room, this little house, very small. We're having lunch. You can fit, you know, a handful of people in it. So she put it on this bed that was attached to our table, was right next to it, not attached, but it right next to it. So she just put it on top of the bed that people had slept in the night before. Okay? So she puts the gray bag on top of the bed, and we eat lunch. We get ready to go, and she says, "Oh, PMP, you know those sunglasses that you really love and that you are missing? They were sitting right on top of the gray bag. And I was loving, thank you, sweetie, I was loving them and missing them, not because I covet them, but I've had them for years. I had them in many different mission trips. They're very simple, but they're just my sunglasses. They're kind of, you know, not fancy or slick or anything. And I just looked at them, and I was so encouraged again. Lord, where did that come from? Nobody could sneak in around us while we're having lunch and take my sunglasses and put them next to me on a bag. You know, those are the kinds of things that are happening. These are supernatural things that make no sense, that I don't understand, that I just give God praise for. But when we are wanting to see what he sees, that we ask him and say, you know, God, there's a whole lot more going on, and I need to see with your eyes. So I'm sensitive to people. I'm sensitive to situations. I'm sensitive to the areas. And also, Father, wherever there's been loss, where there's been anything that's been stolen or taken away, I need to see your way to pull it back. I need to see your heart behind that so I don't live with a regret. That I need to see how big you are and trust that you're going to do that. You know, that's trusting God when the times are not looking spiffy and bright, but trusting him and believing those things. So that was encouraging to me, and I just want to thank God for that and praise the name of the Lord for what he's doing, for our new worship center beginning that's going to be led by the children. Come on. Can we just give a big amen and yes for Jesus again? Is that so cool? So cool. In Sao Paulo. Amen. Yeah. And the children, I know I want to go, they're jumping around, so go to Kingdom Land, little ones. That's great. I want to introduce you more today. They got the right idea over here. Look at my little guys. But this does remind me, this reminds me of India, but with a breeze, because there wasn't any. India was cool. I mean, awesome cool, not cool in temperature. And it was really, really fun. I loved it. I loved India. India is so amazing. I want to introduce you to the passion version of what God's doing today, the passion version of things that he's put on my heart from Psalm 91. I just so believe in the transforming power of God's word, transforming power of his presence, that he is going to change up how we do what we do, how we do business, how we do kingdom. He's going to change that up. Before we get into that, Beth, can you put up, there's a lion I want to show you. This guy lives on my wall in a picture. This is really cool. I don't know if you can see it clearly, but our son Mikey gave that, Mikey and Joe gave that to us years ago, and I love it. And it sits on our wall, and I'm encouraged when I walk by that thing. I really appreciate it. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power," Ephesians 6:10. And it's just a picture, it's just a lion, but it represents so much because the Lord sees us as shining stars. When we look up at his billion stars in the universe, I don't know how many billions, somebody here would know that. But when we look up, just think of ourselves as one of those billion stars, you know, or many billions, that he sees us as stars rising up and shining brighter and brighter and brighter. And the stars that he wants to brighten are still stars, but he wants to brighten in us, okay? Pastor Dewa from India, from Rajahmundry, India, had a vision the last day that I was preaching there. Pastor Bill was preaching at another church. And one of the visions that he had during the time of outpouring was he saw this place just filled with stars. The stars were so, they were luminous, but they were dim. They were not as bright as stars should be. You have an expectation, don't we? When we look up in the sky, we go, oh, wow, I want to see that. And there's nothing clouding, we hope. When we go to Africa, we can't wait to get out in the dark of darks and look up because we see things we don't see in this country. It's just amazing to us. And so we look for that. We go out into villages, and it's just we'll just stand there and look for shooting stars. Right, Michelle? We'll look for shooting stars, and we need to stay there until we see one. Those who have been there, they know what I'm talking about. And they might say, yeah, I just saw one. I'm going to bed. So the ones who are laughing are the ones who do that. So, but anyway, these stars are so bright, aren't they? So when Pastor Day was said that he saw these stars, but they weren't as bright as he would expect stars to be. So when he goes out in India, out in the village, is not where he is, but out a little bit further, it's the same thing. He's looking up at the stars, and he has that concept. So we were talking about the meaning behind that, what God wants to do, and he was talking about the identity of us from God's perspective, how he sees us as his beloved bride, how he sees us as his treasure, how he sees us as his romantic ones, the object and confession of his heart, how he sees us that way, and how that will cause us to shine, cause us to be brighter, cause us to just be glorified in his name. We're carrying the glory. It's him. Jesus, be glorified. But it causes us to receive that to be able to share with other people. It's not his glory. We can't ever touch that because you can't. You don't even want to try, but you can't anyway, even if you did try. But God wants us to shine so, so brightly that everything that he's promised comes to pass. Everything that we're receiving, all the good things, all the wonderful blessings that he has for us in the midst of trial and persecution and famine and suffering and all those things. And so I say that with a smile because God is still on the move even while Mozambique is experiencing a famine and a drought. God is still on the move. He's still working. People are mobilized around the world. We're going there in July. We're going to be taking provision with us and sending some before. So we're going to put together just this little blurb for Facebook and just say, come on, guys, we're going to put something together and get to that at the beginning of the week. And we're going to do that so that the rest of the world that is already on notice, but the world around us where we live especially will be on a little bit more notice, see if we can help with that. But God's still on the move. So we're going to go with the privilege of being able to encourage people, yeah, and demonstrate him, Psalm 61. 67, 1 and 2. So fun. But one thing I put on, this was on my Facebook, and there's some words below that. Can you bring those up, Beth? You can see this again. It is what it is, or. This is what I wrote last night. It just came to me, and it just kind of went on my Facebook page. So we're pulling that up. But I just want to draw your attention to the phrase, it is what it is. How many times do we say that? Ah, it is what it is. Do we do that sometimes? Nobody? Ever? Sometimes? Okay, thank you. An honest one. It is what it is. And sometimes that can be good. It is what it is because there it is. There it is. My child is doing this or doing that. It is what it is. But when God looks at things, he's looking beyond that. And I believe there's the or that's attached to, or it gives us a choice. It is what it is, or. And so this is what I put. The Lord, the Lion of Judah, is to be the strength of our heart. There's nothing too good, too great for him. Nothing. All things are possible when we're near to him, even when all looks hopeless. There is never hopelessness in Jesus, ever. When our faith is measured by our personal experiences and situations instead of him, his character, his nature, his majesty, his likeness, we risk our faith crashing, or at the very least, dropping to a point of ineffectiveness. Our hearts become easy targets for failure or rejection, anger, fear, and pride to find a home, a comfortable place where it is what it is. Without a sure and solid foundation, we cannot stand effectively, so we won't stand effectively. Make no mistake, there is no one like the Lord, the strong and mighty one. The enemy relentlessly pursues us. He seduces us as he lures us into a place of settling for it is what it is, instead of wholeheartedly embracing. The Lord is able and willing, I believe. He will do it and is always trustworthy if only we will dare to believe. No matter how awful or negative, there is living hope in Jesus, because that's who he is. He's not the God of who it is what it is. He's not. There's hopelessness there in the sense that it must remain constant, stagnant. It cannot change. And so that came to me last night, and I took a picture of that on my wall, and I just looked at that, and it was about 2 a.m. or so, and I thought, yeah, now I can go to sleep. That is strong, because I come across a picture that Beth found again for me. It was somehow deleted from my Facebook page. I don't know how, because I saw it there. But I want you to put that one up, Beth, if you can. It was just very fun. Look at this. Picture of this beautiful bride. Does that just grab your heart? There's this lion who's roaring underneath. It is what it is, right? But he's at the top of the staircase, and he's romancing. He's looking as the bridegroom, looking down at this beautiful bride. He's not some little mealy mouse animal at the top. This is a roaring lion saying, hey, that's my bride, back off. That's my baby, leave her alone. That's my family, and I'm going to fight for what is mine and who mine is. And she's going to figure out that I really am who that is, and I will do what I say. And it's not. It is what it is. And I will not accept it is what it is. I've never accepted and been behind it is what it is, or it stays that way, stays the same. And I will bring that change. I will do it because of that, because of romance, because of family, because of the brightness. Isn't that gorgeous? Do you love that? Why is it that we're so drawn to something like that, where we go, oh, is it the fact there's a nice veil and dress? Maybe it's part of it, but that's not it. It's what it stands for, right? And Carly knows all too well, and she's not here, I don't think, this morning. I know Jordan and Justin's grandma went home to be with the Lord yesterday. Yeah, and found that out last night, actually. So we lift them up in prayer today, their whole family. Some of us have walked that road where our moms or grandmothers have passed, and it's not an easy one. But Justin put something beautiful on Facebook about a tribute to his grandma. So I encourage you to read it, and it's very positive and powerful. But we lift up that family today. And also, Carly's mom had a problem. She was in an accident, and her airbag went off and crushed, or I should say fractured, if I got it right, her breastbone, her sternum. And so it's been very painful, very hard in the last couple of days. So she's on meds, but she was able to go to Carly's shower yesterday. I understand. And thank God she's alive. Thank God she's all right. And thank God that he's going to take, because of this, he's going to move that forward. So when we see her this coming week for all the wedding preparations and the rehearsal and all that goes into that, Kim knows all too well, most recent, what that's like and what goes behind that. This is, as a mother, you know, others have gone through that too. Kathy's gone through it, and other mothers who are here. But I'm just saying, there's this heart pressure, not of, oh, I have to get it done, although that's partially there probably, but this heart of, this is my baby getting married, and this is what's going to happen in my life, and I've been waiting for this moment, and then bam, okay, where is the Lion of Judah now? He's still on the throne. He's still at the top of the staircase, amen? He's still roaring. He's still saying, remember what I said in my word. Remember Psalm 67, 1 and 2. Remember who I am, and don't stop believing. Don't stop it. Take every promise. When you hear a word about family, grab onto it. Don't turn away and say, well, that's too painful, but I'll hear the rest of what you say. Listen. Listen to all the words when they come from the Lord and go, yes, yes, yes. And the Lion of Judah is free to roar on every situation where it looks like there's no roaring. He's roaring, and he's saying, I'm going to position you to hear the roar, to feel the roar, and to be able to release the roar. And we need to be the ones to do it. And we will, because we carry his namesake. We carry his image. We're made in his image. And he says, when you know my majesty, when you know who I am, you will see this picture and go, yes, that's for me. Yes, that's who I am. That's who you are. And we're going for it. And nothing will stay the same. And it's not. It is what it is. Ho! Shay! Koraba shikarababa sikarababa. Wow! There are people's lives on this board who are stuck in alternative lifestyles and hidden in dark holes where they can't get out, and they feel unable to feel the empowerment right now to be able to get up, get out, and be free. And so it's up to us to help them get free of this. It is what it is. It's up to us through intercession and prayer and love and thanksgiving and acceptance and affection to say, no, we believe in you. And you will meet this roaring lion one day. But in the meantime, we're going to be the roar. And we're going to be the roaring ones with the arms. And we're going to be the ones who will see beyond our comfortable little area. And we will see, and we will believe, and we will be part of a rescue as well as a restoration. God is setting us up. He's saying, look at what I've set up for you right in front of you. What are you going to do with it? Do you just say, well, that was nice, I saw that person, oh yay. Or do you take it and say, that was a divine appointment from God, and he did that, so I would go, Lord, I'm going back and saying, what can I do? How do I pray? How do I stand? How do I war? How do I release the roar of the Lion of Judah? What's my place? And I will take it. And you, the enemy has tried to silence the very ones who have a roar, and silence the very ones who would be ones who would roar to the ends of the earth. And the Lord is saying, help those ones regain the roar and restore the roar. Okay? That's what God says. And he says, don't just agree, but do it. Do it. Do it. See the lion who is mighty. See the one at the top of the staircase. See the one who says, that one, I have their heart in my hand. Go and get them. Go get my bride. Get the lost sheep. Get the ones who don't know me, and get the ones who are so afraid they're in a hole and they can't see. They're hindered. Go do something beyond. And that's the lion roar. I believe it. Shekaraba. Wow, wow. What I see, what the Lord was speaking to me about this weekend, hey, is that we get comfortable. We get very, very comfortable. Who doesn't like comfort? We love our fans. Come on now. I was out with my Judah this week, and Josh and Christy know, but he was telling me, Grammy, don't you have air conditioning? It's so hot in here, and on and on and on. It was kind of funny. I don't have a slick car. I really don't. And so I did, and I said, it's coming, sweetheart, but let me talk to you. Let me talk to you about some things. But it wasn't, don't you know how the kids are suffering in India? Not, I mean, come on, who wants to hear that? However, I was able to help him go from how hot it was to what's really happening. Let's focus on Jesus and what is going on here. Aren't we so blessed to be together? And then eventually some of the air kicked in, you know? So he's just doing he was saying what we all feel. he's just wonderful. And we had a blessed day, a wonderful day, because our eyes went to the Lion of Judah, not on our comfort alone, but yet realizing that he gave us air to put in our car if we have it, so let's use it. It's okay, and I'm good with that. But that's the point. Let's use any opportunity that we have and see what he's roaring about. These are good words, aren't they? It's encourage us to be able to go forward, to see beyond the veil, beyond the veil, beyond the veil. A book that Roland Baker's grandfather wrote so many years ago when he was in Kunming, China, and all these kids, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the kids in Kunming all those years ago, where the kids are just, it's completely with the Holy Spirit. They don't know what to do. They're overwhelmed. Beyond the veil. They could see beyond the veil that was ripped and torn. They could see. They could experience. They could feel. Shay. When we were in Rajahmundry the night before we left, we had one of those times. It lasted an hour and a half, and I believe it's one of many. One of many. If you guys can find it, let's put it up. It's, what, about 30 seconds long. I don't know where it is, who has it, or whatever. So, Andy, if you can help them with that, I don't know. Because some of you weren't here, but it's really cool. And it's the night before. And so I followed up and said, oh, how are things going? The fire is still ignited. Cool. What is that? What do we do with that on our end? How do we pray it in? What do we do? How do we bless? What do we need to stand for? How do we partner with that? How do we do this with that in mind? I'm telling you what, those little ones in Rajahmundry, as they capture a vision, a picture in their heart of that, not the lighthouse, but of the lion and the bride, they're going to go for it. The next time they're walking down the street in the favela and they've got a drug dealer with a gun looking at them, and they'll smile and walk on and they can't touch them because they're safe. Shika. So we learn about him that way, but we apply. And that's what we're going to look at in just a minute. The passion of Jesus, his romantic passion, which is why I chose the Passion Version today for Psalm 91. We need to see him as the Mighty One. We need to see him as El Shaddai. We need to see him as our protector, not because we're afraid, but because we partner with the one that we're betrothed to. That's why. But then when we do, we will say, God, you are connecting with us. You're showing us more about what family looks like in our spirit, what family, spiritual family looks like, and what do we do together? We can't do it alone. And it's not just going to be, well, I've got this little group, and so now I feel fine and safe. Well, what about the person that is not in that little group for that moment? How do they feel? We're going to have eyes to see. We're going to have hearts to understand. We're going to get it. Like, God, give me a better way. Show me what to do to release the Lion of Judah roaring in every situation. Okay, let's turn the volume up on this. Holy Spirit revival. This is midnight, the night before we're leaving. Simple, Holy Spirit, come to that six-year-old. Every one of them overwhelmed and baptized in the power and the Spirit of God. Can't move. Shikarababa. Kids and leaders, overwhelmed. Swati and Deva. Divya and Swati, the 2 6-year-olds, wrecked by God. Look at this. No experience before this. There was deliverance going on. There was healing going on. Encounters with heaven. Thank you, Holy One. A holy mess, holy chaos. Thank you, Jesus. Simple power. Is that powerful? We need to keep praising God for that. And then we start our worship center for the children in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Same week, a couple days after. Come on. God, you're so good. What are you doing? What are you doing here? He wants to do it with us here even more. Thank you. So, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Thanks, love. Thanks, husband, love. You are right. Psalm 91, let's put that up, Beth, okay? This is so good. This is the Passion Version of Psalm 91. I want to look at this and see what God is saying right now as I get my water. I just, There are no words for experiencing these kinds of breakthroughs. It's like, wow, God, and this is only the tip of the iceberg. Thank you, God. This is also, I put this at my Facebook page, so anybody who wanted to read could, it's right there. So I know that the Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic versions, or the scriptures, the original translations in the original writings have been used to put the Passion Bible together. And so there's a real romantic edge, which is really nice, because I think that's what people are missing. They don't understand. We founded, through the Lord, Frontline, based on kiss me with the kisses of your lips, your love is better than wine. Laying before him, soaking, and then out of that, going to the nations. I mean, that's how we were founded, okay? That's what the enemy wants to destroy, because he hates it. And Jesus says, not on my watch. And so we want to be able to have that kind of romantic connection with the Lord so we don't lose that. We don't fight that, because our Western mind is completely the opposite of that, completely the opposite of seeing God as romantic, seeing our Father as someone who loves us with an everlasting love, but also says, stop sinning. You know, where do you draw the line? How do you do that? When you're romantically connected with the Lord, you don't want to sin. You don't want to do anything that will hurt that romance and hurt that connection in any way. You just don't want to. And you want eyes to see. You want to see way beyond the veil, way beyond whatever it is. It's not freedom to do as we please, but freedom only to do what pleases him. Amen? That's good. So let's take a look at this. This is from Psalm 91. And if you have another version in your Bible, just go ahead and look at that as well. So we'll just do a couple of different ones. Hello? What I'm going to ask, I think we lose Jamie. She's in the conferences. Thank you. Or in any situations where we have to stop and then put these new things in because we don't know where we are with it. Unless people just change batteries out right away. I don't know. Maybe they do that. Maybe we need to do that. But if there is something that will let us know that you're right on the edge of that, that would be cool too. So just a thought. Lord, you're big. You can do it. So I'm going to ask my beloved if he can help me. I'm going to ask you, Lord, not Lord, my love. Oh, Lord. Yes, she did. My father would love that. But he has the Song of Songs, Divine Romance. We're going to look at that, and I'm going to highlight a few verses from the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. And I'm going to ask Pastor Bill, my love, to read them out of that version while we're looking at Psalm 91. Because I really think this is where we get kind of mixed up. It's like, I got to stand and I got to be tough. Yeah, okay. I got to be like that person. Oh, no, that person's too strong for me. I'm just a lover. No, please, I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like her. No, they're just way out there. So I'm just going to be around those who are just loving, and then I feel a whole lot better. We shoot ourselves in the foot for inner vows that we make, and they're very strong, and the Lord honors the fact that we make those kinds of statements and in our hearts, and we will not be able to rise to step into the holy roar of the Lion of Judah very easily, because we will convince ourselves that only when it's soft and fluffy feeling, and maybe if there's a problem, I might call on the Lion of Judah that way, but we will make a problem for ourselves not being able to bring together the Lion of Judah who's roaring at the top of the staircase, who's also inviting his beautiful bride into his arms. Okay? When those two ways of God, I guess, nature of God, if you will, come together for us in an understanding, we're going to become much more dangerous, much more dangerous. I think that the problem that we face many times is it's one or the other. And then we stop ourselves and then we make these statements inside, I will never be like, boom. And those are dangerous and they're not from God. And they create strongholds and walls, and they need to come down. And they will only come down through deliverance, the word of God, not just, yeah, I guess you're right, but realizing that that is something that is a vow that's been made. When we vow allegiance, I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb or to the King, We say, yes, you've got everything, but those areas of inner vows on the inside, if they're not completely eradicated in power and authority by the Lord himself, they will still remain probably undetected, and they will hinder us, and we'll think everything is fine. So that's a word, and I believe it's true, and I hope it hurts the enemy big time. So, amen. Okay, Psalm 91. Let's see this mighty roaring Psalm 91. Isn't that the psalm we go to whenever we're in trouble? Whenever we've got something to stand for, it's like, all right, Psalm 91, when I just go into the shelter of the Most High God, I find rest. I'm going to go to that strong tower because my kid is sick, or my husband's off, or my wife is this, or my girlfriend is that, or whatever it would be. I just got to fight. So I'm going to go to the fighting psalm, Psalm 91, the fighting psalm. I mean, isn't that true? Don't we feel like that? Like, isn't that the first one you go to? It's like, oh, I got a problem. Psalm 91, that's the one, right? So I was so intrigued when I was thinking about this and saying, God, show me Psalm 91 in the Passion Version. I just want to see what you have to say. And it's so beautiful because there's a beautiful mixture of who this God is, who El Shaddai is, who is this God, who is that roaring one, who is the one who just is smiling with these lion eyes at me and is so romantic and he's so embracing and he's so creative, but he's not going to stand for anything that doesn't match up with the kingdom of God. He just won't. And he's looking for people who will be able to see him always. Wow. That's what he's looking for. That's where we're going. Yay. Okay. Love it. So, whoever lives... Honey, tell me what time it is. Let me know where we are. 12:30? Okay. Whoever lives within the secret shadow of Shaddai... hidden in the strength of God Most High will always be kept safe and feel secure. Who is that whoever? Is that us? Is that what we pray for our families? Is that what we pray over ourselves? Is that what we say, God, that's who I am. I want to see you. Give me that revelation from Psalm 67, 1 and 2. Give me that revelation of fire. I need to see that in your word. I need to sense that. I am that one. I live within that secret shadow of you, El Shaddai. And I am hidden in that strength of you. Most High God, El Elyon, that is your name, your Hebrew name. Most High God and God Almighty. That Psalm starts out with who he is, so strong, will always be kept safe and feel secure. Wow. Think about it. I was watching a video of Heidi Baker recently. She's coming to my mind. And I've seen her when she's talking like this about all the people who really need a touch of Jesus. And then I hear her roaring. I'm not trying to be like anybody. I'm just making a statement that the woman roars with the power of God in that gentle way, but also with the roaring lion of Judah coming through, that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We cannot say, I won't be like him. I won't be like her. It will bring a curse over us that is from a family line that will stop us from progressing. Chikaraba. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll always be kept safe and feel secure. Here's how I describe him. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. Look at how he is looked at in the scripture. And yes, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. And yes, he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. Yes, his massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. Yes, you can run under his covering of majesty and hide. Yes, his faithfulness is a wraparound shield, shielding you from harm. Yes, you will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, not have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing, whether by night or by day. Demonic danger will not trouble you, nor the powers of evil launched against you. Oh my. That's powerful. What do we do with those words? Do we believe them? Do we embrace them? Do we say, yeah, God, I'd like to be like that someday. I would like to be able to get to that place where that is a roar on the inside. How many mothers want to see their children on fire for Jesus? Every mother, right? Every mother, every grandmother, every great-grandmother, every father, every grandfather, every great-grandfather who loves and roars for Jesus wants to see that. And that's what we do. But we want to see it in ourselves before anything else, right? So we want to be able to say, yes, God, that's who I am. That's how you see me. And I am going to absolutely bring you into a place in my life where I choose to say yes. I choose to trust you. I choose to embrace every word, and it will apply to every person in my family. And I will declare and decree over the ones who aren't close anymore, the ones who have faded off into their little hole, the ones who have backed off into the world of who knows what. Those are the ones. Those are the ones who need rescue. And those are the ones that I will pray and stand for. And I will declare your word. And I will believe it for me, and I will believe it for them. I believe there will be a holy rising of hell running from anyone who stands and lives that way. I believe it with everything inside of my heart. But I believe it first for my life and for those I love beyond that. That's how I want to pray more and more and more. So Song of Solomon, verse 1.
Just verse 1?
No, there's more. There's more than verse 1. I'll just start it with verse 1. Verse 1.
1:1. Smother me with kisses, your spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them in like the sweetest wine. This is 3 now. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out, for your lovely name is flowing oil. No wonder the brides-to-be adore you. Draw me into your heart and lead me out. We will run away together into your cloud-filled chamber.
Is this the same God I just read in Psalm 91? Is this the one who's roaring, be strong in the power of my might? The same God, yeah? But do you see, it's not one or the other. It's both. Both to be able to run together. And if one is missing one aspect of the nature of God, it's kind of like we're walking around with a crutch. No pun intended. Okay? We're walking around with a limp. We're walking around and we have to lean on people, which is okay for the moment, but in recognizing we can't do anything without the body of Christ, but also realizing that this thing needs to go. This thing needs to heal. And I praise God that I am in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Okay? So thank you, Lord. All right, let's continue on. One sec. You did?
It says the whole thing starts out, the most amazing song of all by King Solomon.
That is the most amazing. We should just have a night where we sing from the Passion of the Song of Solomon all the way through. Wouldn't that be beautiful? I'm calling it out. There'll be a night. However we do it. Oh, I love that. Can you read 15 and 16, love? And it might be different, I don't know, as far as the verse. Does it say 15 and 16?
Okay. Look at you, my dearest darling. You are so lovely. You are beauty itself to me. Your passionate eyes are like loyal, gentle doves. My beloved one, you are pleasing beyond words and so winsome. Our resting place is anointed and flourishing, like a green forest meadow bathed in light. Rafters of cedar branches are over our heads, and balconies of pleasant-smelling pines, a perfect home.
We'll be back. It's my man. Whoa. This is the heart in which we marry people. So next week's going to be a blast. Oh, boy. And it's going to be in here. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. We're created for that. We're designed for that. And when we get lost in his presence and lost in that love, and out of that comes this holy roar. Because we cannot stand in the face of adversity and go, excuse me, I'm just busy with my love. No, there's something inside that says, not on my watch. And then we roar like that lion, and that goes together. And if that part's missing, really missing, we've got to go and redig the well, redig the foundation. We've got to say, Lord, dig up that place where there's been hindrance. Dig up that place, because I am called to roar. Shay. Thank you, Lord. Kol karabashi. Where were we? Oh my goodness. When we live within the shadow of God Most High, El Shaddai, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. Really? Do we believe that? Always shielded from harm? We better start believing that and praying that out. There's going to be some wild things coming in the future. And the Lord says, I need you to know me, know my name, because I am your protector. I am, I am, I am. But it's going to come from a place of rest and love and truth and grace and mercy and power. And anything that would try to rob you of that will go down, because you will rise. And that's what love does. That's love. So good. Thank you, Lord. God will send his messenger. Oh, wait. How then could evil prevail against us, or disease infect us? Question? God will send his messengers, angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have chosen to be my great lover, I have chosen to greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you success. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will feast your eyes on the fullness of my salvation, drinking deeply of me. Glory to God. That's, come on. Are we happy about, are we going, that can't be true. It's the word of God. We didn't write it. Come on. This is the Lord. This is the Lord telling us this is how he is. This is his promise. This is how he looks at. This is not for the sweet by and by. Do I understand why Pastor Jacob has been in prison for 3 years in chains? No. Do I want to be part of praying him out of there? Yes. Okay. Well, this is the psalm also that can encourage and strengthen seeing how God sees and believing what God believes. That's where Pastor Jacob is. You should hear him talk. He's in love with Jesus, just waiting for the day. Lest Jesus chooses to take him home, which he doesn't see that. He's believing he's releasing him, right? Because he's got work to do. There's too many dying, going to hell, and hurting one another. And he wants to be part of the rescue. That's in his DNA. He wants to fulfill the call in his life. And when I spoke that over him a couple weeks ago, he was just like, yes, as he's chained to the bed in the hospital, falsely accused. He needs that version. Also, I'll send it to him. Thank you, Holy One. Okay. Can we have the next? Is that the end of it? No. There's more, right? Was that the very last in the Passion? Okay. This is so good. Let's do this. Sweetheart, let me show you a couple more. Do you want to stand up here? It would help. Maybe because I have this Bible. If you could. That way I can point to these. Listen to these. I just marked them off, and my sweetheart is going to read them. And it's just encouraging. I love it in this. And I know Beth loves the Song of Solomon also. I think you had said, where'd she go? Somewhere. Verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 8 and then 16. Okay?
Chapter 2, right?
Sorry. You read these. Verse 5 in chapter 2. Verse 5.
Revive me with your goblet of wine. Refresh me again with your sweet promises. Help me and hold me, for I am lovesick. I am longing for more, yet how could I take more? Listen, I hear my lover's voice. I know it's him coming to me, leaping with joy over the mountains, skipping in love over the hills that separate us to come to me. I know my lover is mine, and I have everything in you, for we delight ourselves in each other.
There's more. Yes, I knew that hand was, that arm was coming. This is good. And chapter 4, verse 10, and chapter 5, verse 8.
How satisfying to me, my equal, my bride. Your love is my finest wine, intoxicating and thrilling. And your sweet perfumed praises, so exotic, so pleasing.
What did I say?
16.
Lost in love. 5, 16. More.
See. Most sweet are his kisses, even his whispers of love. He is delightful in every way and perfect from every viewpoint. If you ask me why I love him so, O brides-to-be, it's because there is none like him to me. Everything about him fills me with holy desire, and now he is my beloved, my friend forever. Look at you now, arising as the dayspring of the dawn, fair as the shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun in all its strength, astonishing to behold as a majestic army waving banners of victory. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forever. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. It was 8:6. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore.
That's verse 8. It's chapter 6, verses. I'm sorry, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Okay, in the Passion. What the Lord wants, thanks, sweetheart. What the Lord wants to do for us is release us from anything that has hurt, harmed, hindered. And in a ministry that sees that, wherever that would be, here we do see that, and I'm hopefully in many others, we know that the enemy hides and wants to not be known or seen in any way and is very comfortable, and the Lord wants us to rise way above anything that could possibly keep us from this kind of life. That's what the Lord wants. So when we call that out and we hear that mentally, it's like, yes, I want to be that eagle who's rising, who's taking that snake from the ground, coming down and grabbing that snake And the snake is then out of its own zone and taking it up above the snake zone into the atmosphere and shaking that snake, because the snake loses its equilibrium, loses everything, can't even move, can't slither on the ground, can't hiss, can't hide. And it's out of its zone, it's up there. And then the eagle looks at the snake and then tosses it, because it's absolutely no more and it's out of his element. He takes it. This is who we are. We are these eagle Christians who have all these opportunities to see God as the roaring lion of Judah, and how he sees us as our relentless lover who says, I'm preparing my bride, pure and spotless. So when I come to get her, she is ready for me. She is pure, holy, and blameless. On June 10th and June 11th, Friday and Saturday night, Ben Atkinson is coming. And he's going to be speaking about some of those hidden areas that we don't see. Those areas what is known as in Scripture in Daniel is the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece, principalities, areas where we don't understand the conflict inside. We don't realize, why is it like this? Why do I move this direction? Why do I go this way? Why is it so hard? Why is this so resistant? Where is the resistance? What's that coming from? He's going to land on that, he said, and then he's going to talk about the holiness in our world, in our life, in this country, and where we need to go and what is going on. You know, this is not a political, you know, Ben, this is not a political thing. But he's very wise, and he's a prophet, and he has words to say. And I believe that this is part of setting that stage. Now, as we prepare our hearts for what God is saying for us, that we will take this call, this mandate seriously. And those who are on vacation today or have other things they need to be doing with family or whatever it is, will think about this and go, yes, and dig ourselves into a place of, Lord, there's got to be something different and new. Sometimes when we're very just calm and peaceful and we think, I'm resting in God and all is well, we still can have, which is good, but we can still have these places that come from those hidden areas we can't see. Others might be able to, but we can't see it. But God says, I want to move those out so there's no hindrance, especially in the area of feelings that we've had where it's like, no. Maybe as a little child, maybe as an older child, but still no. And I'm doing it this way. And then we come into agreement with other people. And they go, okay. And then we can't move to the places that God has, those higher places. Because we do something really well in one area, and we feel like I'm succeeding there, leave me alone. God is saying, it's not me leaving you alone. You want the enemy to leave you alone. And this is how to do it. This is the way to do it. So I'm just really encouraged this morning, and I really believe we want to close in prayer here, because this is a powerful word to be able to take with us. And I believe that as we've come into agreement with the Scriptures to see what he's saying, that he's going to give us just such a way of release. Amen? So let's just pray right now. Let's just trust God and pray, because I believe he wants to shake us. He wants to shake some things. Let me take a little drink here. So much fun, isn't it? I was watching, some of you know Shara, remember Shara Praden? Yeah, I saw your name, you know, Michelle checked, and she's got, you know, wedding on the brain, which is good. So, but Shara just got married. She's a spiritual daughter of Heidi. And I was reading through some of the things that she had posted and others had posted. And Lou Engel and his wife, Therese, which are wonderful people. It's a great couple. They met her when she was at Princeton when she was 19. And she's the one who put together Compelled by Love. We met her when we were in Pemba back in 2000-something, 3 or 4. I don't remember, Michelle, when it was. Whenever it was. And she's a great gal. She's wild. She works for Bethel Media, and she's very flamboyant, very colorful person. She's been waiting for her man for many years. I believe she's 36 or 37. 37. Okay? 37. Interesting. You know? She's not 22. So she watched all the 22-year-olds get their man, or 25, or 30, or 34, or whatever. So she went through all of the rigors of the struggles that go with that. But she had spiritual family that stood with her and said, Wait for God. Wait for his best. She didn't go with a trendy book. She didn't go with a trendy word. She went with the scriptures, the word of God, and she waited. And last year, the Lord brought her man, and she had the most wild wedding yesterday. And I saw that and I thought, oh my gosh. But what she gave, what the tribute that she gave to those who stood with her, loved with her, cried with her, but didn't give in because it seemed like a long time. And they said, you wait for God's promise and he will come and he will be this kind of man. This kind of man, and this is what you want, and watch what I do. And she wasn't, I'm sure she got shot at, you know, she withdrew, I don't know all the struggles, but I could tell from different things that I've read that it hasn't been easy at all. But she said yes to God, and even with the crying, the tears, the ups and downs, and the heartaches and breakups and all that, God delivered to her everything that she said she wanted for all that amount of time. That's pretty cool. And that's a good testimony. And I think it's something to think about, that, like, can God do things other ways? You know what? She decided to wait and trust God for what she said she wanted, and God did it. And that's how she did that. Did she get shot at? Well, you know what? There have been thousands and thousands and thousands of men around the world that she has hobnobbed with and been around. Okay? But this is how God gave her promises. And man, she's capitalizing on it in a good way. So it's very fun to watch. So it's God is saying, trust me, I'm really this big. I really am. And I will do it because I am who I am. Take my word and let it work for you. Right? Let's let the word of God work for us and not against us. We have to believe him, believe these promises, even with tears, even with people holding our arms up. And God did it for her, and he can do it for us. Amen? And I also want to lift up right now Judy Keller. She's my daughter-in-law, Jenna's mom. She's been told she's going to die of cancer. She felt that God was saying to her, this is not a sickness unto death. She felt she heard it twice. And she comes, from a different place in a background in terms of how people look at signs, wonders, healings, and miracles. But I met with her the day after I got back from India, or 2 days later. And she wanted a miracle from God. So I just want to hold her up in prayer. And I'm asking that you would join me. Her name is Judy. That she would be healed of this cancer. And that she would be completely, it would be eradicated from her body. And that she would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And she would have the miracle that she's asking for. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you this morning for what you're doing, God. And that you are designing this message, Father, to help us be rescued from every trap of the enemy, Lord. And that you say that you will protect us from every false accusation. And that you say that we will experience the reverse of every curse in our life, God. And that you are saying that you give us freedom not to do what we please, but to do what pleases you, God. And Father, we're believing that we are experiencing freedom from night terrors and nightmares and sleeping disorders, God, and panic attacks by day, unreasonable fears. And we thank you, God, that we are declaring war on the enemy's camp. And we're believing, Lord, that we can benefit by living in your presence. And this psalm is relating to that. We thank you, Lord, that you are recalibrating what we think and what we feel. And Father, that you are changing things as we renew our minds, that we are trusting you, God, for all of those areas of our life where the enemy has tried to overtake us, so that everywhere we will be able to discover your ways and see your power met and so sweetly released. Father, we thank you that the areas that we struggle with when we see sin in other people's life, especially when it looks arrogant and you just want to shake them, God, that we will have compassion and we will have affection and we will never tolerate sin, but we will have the wisdom and the strategy from you to be able to know how to reach out, to know how to say yes, to know what to do with the goal of healing and restoration and rescue involved in that. God, that you would do that for us. But Father, that we would be so equipped that we would not be foolish, that we would see you, God, see you for who you are, know your ways, and that you would bring that freedom deep into our souls that we're asking for. depth of freedom, God, into our souls to be able to love you the way you've designed us to be loved. That every sexual union for those who are married in this room would be so strengthened and empowered that there would be revelation from God as to why people become one and how they come together and what that's supposed to look like from your perspective, oh God. That there would be a Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, change for marriages that are in this place and those who would be listening to this message. I just thank you, Lord, for those who are going to be taking steps in the future for what's coming, that they will see you that way. They will declare and decree, your love is better than wine. And there will be such a change and such an amazing movement inside of us, Lord, that we can be jump-started today from your word, from your presence. God, that we will stop with the idols, God, that we are putting in front of us, whether they be a little person or a big person, that's keeping us from listening and saying yes and amen. God, that we would recognize this, and then if we see it in ourselves or in our spouse, that we would start praying and decreeing and declaring so our spouses can get free, so we can come together. We can come together in unity and power and have the kind of marriage, the Song of Solomon marriage that you want. And for those who want to be married, that you will honor those who are wanting to walk with the weight that is in your heart for them, whatever that would look like. And they wouldn't get their answer from a book, they get their answer from you, the book. And I thank you, God, for that. I thank you, God, that you overwhelm them with the truth and the grace and the mercy, God, and all of the rejection that's come against any of us, God, to keep us from your very best, that you would overshadow that rejection through who you are, and it would be pushed out by your glorious majesty and your power and your might. For you are El Shaddai and you are El Elyon, and you are the one who restores the roar and puts that holy roar in place. Father, I speak to the men in this place that they will have such a heart for your power and your presence that it will go even first beyond their own little children and their own wives, that the men will rise up with a roar, the Lion of Judah roar, that they will be able to recognize really what you're saying and what you're doing, God. And I speak to the women as well in this body, the same thing, that there will be a holy roar, a change, that people will be able to see what you're doing, God, so that we would not be seen in heaven as the complacent ones, and more than that, on the enemy's radar, that he can come and strike and he can come and water down. I thank you for that, God. I thank you that you are raising that standard and that bar right now. And I thank you for the holy fire that comes and invades this place, and that there will be a change. I thank you, God, on the basis and the foundation of your word. Let it be. 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 Can we say, let it be in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name, restore the roar. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, restore the roar. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, let the fire of the Most High God restore what the enemy has stolen, restore and move out the complacency, and that there would be a wall of fire around this place, around this people, around your camp. And Father, that this would be a declaration in the Spirit that we have said yes to you and amen. And it's not done with a half heart, it's done with a full heart. And Father, that we recognize when you're moving, we recognize your voice, and we say, yes, count me in. I'm all in, not half-heartedly, full-heartedly, God. And I say yes to you, that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, God. We take that step forward and we will not go backwards. Stir us up in our most holy faith, God, right now. The ones who've been stuck, who've been hiding in the hole, Father, people who have not been able to see with your eyes. They've been too busy with their children, busy with finances, busy with fun, busy with whatever, if they've not stepped into this call. And I, Father, today there'll be a change. There'll be a change. Let it be, God. Let that change come. Thank you, Holy One, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You've been marked with this word today. This is a marking of the kingdom. And for every father who's out with the kids outside, for everyone, every mother or father who's with the kids back here, you people tell them, listen to this word and meditate on it. Please, it's not my word, It's a word that he's using me for, to bring and to release. Listen and receive. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Wow. Shikarababa. Whoa. Wow. Wow. Whoa. 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 Shikaraba. I lift up Cameron to you. Cameron, who's part of our family. We lift up Cameron, who's out in Arizona. Father, let there be a holy roar in that precious son. Let there be something, Father. Lift him up. He's so amazing. We love him. We thank you, Lord, that you are touching him. You are increasing him. You are strengthening him. Thank you, Lord. Touch him. He's got a powerful call on his life. Let your powerful, Lord, your move over him come now, and that he would know that you're touching him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch him. Touch him and move in his life right now. Love you, Cameron. If you listen to this, we love you, man. And we believe in you. We cheer you on and love you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Recalibrating. It's time. It's time. It's time. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. If you can put some music on, that would be great. Be strengthened today. And the lady who matches, I need a hug.